snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird.
It looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9, Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
Look who it is, Mike Ferguson himself, after that very nice intro. Thank you, Mike, for that. And now he's live joining us here on The Randy Tobler Show. Mike, thanks for getting up early.
Anything for you, Randy.
Hey, but this is like sleeping in for you, man. I mean, you know, you start so early every day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get up till like 6 today. That's half my day's gone.
Hey, so I have to ask you, are you like most of us that have a Y chromosome that you don't really get into gear about the Christmas thing until, Christmas Eve? Or do you do a better job of that?
No, it's the former. I've been accused of being somewhat grinchy. I mean, you're playing the bump music in with the Christmas music, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it is almost time for Christmas music to be okay. Yeah, I'm the guy who constantly goes, oh, Christmas is in 2 days. I guess I should start shopping or something.
Hey, well, that's a good segue into a topic that I wanted to talk about. And that is, I heard a report on one of the top of the hour news. I forget, because, you know, like you, we monitor so many different news feeds, right, to stay in touch with everyone. And I heard it. They did an interview with a guy that was either a shop owner or a shopper on Fifth Avenue up in New York, saying that, man, it's like a ghost town around here. There's more people praying in St. Peter's Cathedral than there are, you know, shopping. Now, that's Fifth Avenue. Okay. But what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you feeling in terms of, despite what Joe Biden and KJP say about how great, and Janet Yellen, how great the economy is, that people are really maybe watching their pennies a little bit more this year?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you know, we're showing all these charts and graphs and we're told, look, the economy has rebounded. Everything's good now. Get out there and, stir up the economy. But just this week, I saw the economy tracker, and I actually saw this on WGN's news website, not exactly a conservative bastion of news. And there's the inflation tracker, which is run by a joint committee in Congress, which is chaired by a Democrat, by the way. And in Illinois and Missouri in particular, and that's where I looked, both of them say if you want to just access the same goods and services, buy the same groceries, buy the same gas, get the same car repairs, you know, replace the same amount of clothes, all that sort of thing, between 2021 and now, so just 2 years, it's going to cost you about $11,500 more just to get the same thing. So when all the so-called experts tell us that, well, inflation's back down to almost where we want it, boy, we got through that okay, we're all sitting here going, no, we still know things are far more expensive. The value of the dollar is not as much as it used to be. It costs more just to live. And so we're dialing back and we're not spending as much money. That's just self-protection financially.
And, you know, Mike, it's so... You know, it's one thing to talk about misguided policy and, you know, they have a different philosophy, the Keynesians, you know, oh, government spending is good. For every buck the government takes out of the private sector and spend, quote, invest, oh, my gosh, it's great. Remember Nancy Pelosi? $3 for every dollar we spend. I think that they're cynical and it's deceitful for them to try to pull the wool over our eyes that when they say, well, inflation is down, I think what they're subliminally trying to say to the unengaged is that somehow prices are down. They don't want to admit that the 9% inflation, you know, it's locked in and it's going to be compounded when the 3% goes on top of that. And that's the crushing reality that I think is only yet to hit us. Do you feel that there will be a soft landing or not?
Oh, I have a feeling that, because I think with the Fed, you know, telling everybody, hey, we're going to have multiple rate cuts, three or more rate cuts this year. it's hard to say, but whether or not there's an official declared recession, I think that this is going to be a really, really bumpy year. And with the fact that it's going to be an election year as well, I think what you've got is everybody scrambling to micromanage the economy, which is going to make whenever whenever the bills come due, it's going to be rough. And I think what everyone wants to do, and the Biden administration wants to do, is push the bills coming due until after the elections. And they're also looking at the window. They're saying, look at where things are right now compared to where it was, 8 months ago, not 3 years ago or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, because they know that between their policies that are ongoing now and the massive spending and the massive debt and the massive deficits, and then also, frankly, some of the reckless spending of the Trump administration as well, that we've set ourselves up for this, and there's only so far you can run away from horrible policy that added a whole bunch of borrowed and worthless dollars into the economy.
Yeah. That's Mike Ferguson. You hear him on Mike Ferguson in the Morning here on News Talk STL every morning, every weekday morning, 5:30 to 9. And Mike, I do appreciate the fact, and I know you take some hits from listeners, so do I, when we call out the realities of, like, hey, Trump was not Mr. Perfect. A lot of profligate spending, a lot of overreaction, a lot of slow to listen to the likes of Scott Atlas and make some changes that probably should have been made earlier. And I guess what I'm concerned about is a collision course in the Republican/conservative movement. And I guess we'll include some libertarians in there, too, that apathy develops because of just a lack of consensus, unlike the Democrats moving forward. The Democrats will unite around, they will coalesce around anything that will help them win elections. Republicans tend to stand by their own individual principles and will not yield for consensus. Do you think that's going to get in the way of electoral success up and down the ticket in November of 24?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the Democrats circle the wagons. Republicans tend to set up a circular firing squad. That's the difference between the two. But at the same time, the Republican Party and, frankly, the conservative movement, they're kind of at a crossroads. Are they going to go in a big government conservatism sort of way, or are they going to find their way back to principles? Donald Trump's more of a populist. He's not particularly conservative, but I get the anger that he taps into for a lot of people. I think between, his basically attacking every other person who doesn't get on board with him and the Republican National Committee's horrible mishandling of the presidential race and trying to micromanage all the candidates, I think the Republicans are making it much harder for themselves than it should be. And I do think that regardless of who the nominee is, there's going to be some sort of fracture there on the Republican side. And I think they are making it harder for them to have that success. And the Democrats, you may say, well, just look at Biden. Why would anybody reelect Biden? Well, reality is that if I'm the Democrats right now, I'm trying to let the Republicans have all the spotlight and let dysfunction shine through.
Yeah, right. You got it. I haven't had a chance, moving to the international scene, I haven't had a chance to listen to your take on the ever louder drumbeat from the left, from the Democrat base, to encourage Joe, and they've now overtly, just yesterday, or was it day before yesterday, they're now, the administration, telling Israel essentially to stand down and stop it. And, of course, it doesn't help when the IDF mistakenly takes out three hostages who apparently had escaped, Hamas captivity. What do you think we're going with that whole conflict?
Yeah, I mean, let me start with what you said there about the Biden administration. I am really getting concerned that what's happening is our leadership, our administration, is about to turn its back on Israel completely. Their constant harping, their number one point is take care of Palestinian civilians, take care of Palestinian civilians. And they're making victory over Hamas secondary. We know that Hamas hides behind, hostages. We know that they set up their military operations in hospitals and in child care centers and in schools. We know that these are basically ruthless animals when it comes to military tactics. And so they are setting this up to where probably the most restrained restrained military in the world, which is Israel, the most disciplined. They want to obviously spotlight every single mistake and thing that goes wrong, because they want to create the chaos, and that's what they want to live in. Israel did not start this war. Israel has been unbelievably restrained, and they actually provide comfort to their enemies when people are hurt, when they're sick, you know. And so right now what's happening is that we're seeing a legitimate question: is a two-state solution even possible when you've got one side, the Palestinians? And remember, the Palestinians selected and elected Hamas to be their leaders. So when people say these are the innocent, civilians, well, this is what they chose, knowing what they chose. And so, you know, Israel is doing what they have to do to survive. And sorry that, Palestinian civilians have been hurt. And it infuriates me that there was a mistake that cost some of the Israeli hostages their lives. But I blame Hamas for that. I don't blame Israel. To me, this is good, evil. There's a clear good guy and a clear bad guy, and the Biden administration cannot tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys right now.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's so funny. Well, it's not funny, but I mean, it's so odd and hard to believe that folks who should know better haven't looked at history, Mike, and looked at, look, when you have civilians who are complicit with and who have endorsed, elected, not asked accountability for what is essentially becoming a Stockholm syndrome situation in Hamas with their Gazans there. At some point, those people become accomplices to the crime. And I mean, of course the children aren't, but I'm saying it, those people had choices to make. They made choices. It's like if you've got drug dealers in your neighborhood and there's bullets flying everywhere, if you don't do something about it, at some point, it's on you if you get caught in the crossfire. I know that sounds cruel, but tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. And that's what we're constantly forgetting. I mean, what's happening is the Biden administration is more worried, I think, right now, or as worried about their hard left activists who are just simply anti-Semitic. Let's call them what it is. They are bigots. They hate they hate the state of Israel. They have become increasingly hostile to people who are Jewish in around the world and right here in this country. And that's what we're seeing on the left. And so he's trying to placate bigotry that we've seen in world history. I mean, we don't have to go back 100 years. We can go back, over millennia and see that when a spike in anti-Semitism happens in world history, it is followed by some absolutely horrible chains of events. And that's what I think we need to worry about when we see the Biden administration throwing Israel under the bus and telling Israel, we need you to be controlled and restrained and, almost self-preservation is secondary. So when you step back and look at world history on this, this is really awful. And one of the things that, and I don't really care for social media memes, but one of the most interesting ones I saw out there, Randy, it said, if you ever wondered what you would have done in the 1930s, you're doing it right now. And for good or for ill, you're speaking up or you're being an accomplice one way or the other. And that's what we're seeing right now. And that's why I wish a whole lot of people would wake up. And even our friends on the left should be telling their own party and their own movement, this is wrong and this is going to lead to horrendous consequences.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Hey, well, listen, I won't take any more of your time, but I want to thank you for your analysis. And I'm so thankful that you gave some of my listeners a little appetizer for your Monday morning soiree into the studio, because I'm sure between now and then there'll be talking heads tomorrow and in between that you'll be elucidating what they really meant and where they got it wrong. Mike Ferguson, thank you so much for being with me, brother.
You got it. We brag about you every week on the show. Hopefully, we're letting everybody know about all the great programs here on the station.
You got it, man. All right. And have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before then.
You do the same, Randy. Thank you.
All right, guys. When we come back, I'm looking forward to talking to John O'Connor. Who's John O'Connor? He's a former federal prosecutor. He really gets it in terms of how prosecutions work, the behind the scenes, behind the bench goings on. And we're going to talk to him about the Trump New York civil fraud trial, Jack Smith shenanigans going to the Supreme Court, and more here on the Randy Tobler Show. Good morning.
Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
Elsa? Do you wanna build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door, it's like you've gone away. We used to be best buddies. Build a snowman.
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Hey, Anna.
Okay, bye.
They send us a case. Make sure it's convictable. And the bar is real high. There's no question about it. It's got to be a misdemeanor, high crime, or treason. And the other bar, it has to be committed while he was in office, the current office he holds. So what he did as a vice president, what he did in between the two, may not be impeachable.
That was Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican from Oklahoma. And he's worried about how impeachable good old Joe is. We don't know. And it's a big question. And all that they're doing is an inquiry. We have to remind our Democrat friends of that. The Republicans need to continue to be very, very introspective and aware that it didn't work out well for them with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. It didn't work out well in the impeachment of Donald Trump for the Democrat Party, if you think about it. And so we got to be careful about that. The brand doesn't improve if you overreach on something like this. No doubt what Joe and his family through the Hunter Biden influence peddling scheme did appears to be at a minimum unethical. Whether they violated statutes when he was in fact vice president, we don't know. Is introducing a family member to a foreign dignitary, for that matter, anything illegal? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know the law well enough. But when it translates to foreign policy decisions, when said individual is hired by entities within that government, particularly a communist government like China or in the Ukraine, I think then it starts to take on more gravity. And that's why I think this impeachment inquiry is so important. But we have to listen to the words of Mark Wayne Mullen. It's very, very important. Karl Rove said as much. And Karl Rove, think what you will about him. He's a savvy political analyst and consultant and observer of the scene. They've got to go about this methodically, objectively, transparently, and not overreach. There's plenty of graft and the appearance of corruption anyway to make political hay and to help Republican candidates up and down the ticket. On the other hand, if they overreach, if they overstate the truth, if they extrapolate too much from the facts, the media will aid and abet the Democrats in making political fodder and advantage out of that. We know that. We've seen it happen on the other side. We've seen what happened when the Democrats, you know, overreached on the J6 thing. I mean, it should have been a bigger, had it not been for the abortion issue, there would have been a red wave in 22. And the recent election would have turned out differently. I'm confident of that. This is going to be an election where things like the abortion issue, things like the green agenda, things like it's looking like the Palestinian issue and how the anti-Semitism is being endorsed as okie dokie on the left. Those issues are actually going to be the coattails on which I think many, many Democrats are going to be reelected if they're incumbents, or elected if they're not. Unless Republicans can make some solid, well-evidenced and documented showing of whether it's the Hunter and Joe and the rest of the family, you know, money laundering and influence peddling scheme, if it really is something there and is illegal and it's on the way to impeachment and or prosecution when he's out of office, that's fine. But more importantly, there's important economic issues. There's important foreign policy issues. There's critical border security issues that we should be leaning on the right. Absolutely hammering on. And those opportunities are there. Let's play this. This is clip two on that set I sent you. It's number eight, IDF. Here's the IDF admitting to reporting that they admitted to the friendly fire killing of three Israeli hostages. That's the second of that set of clips that I emailed you just now, Jerome. And let's have you listen to that, because I'd like to get your opinion, ladies and gentlemen, on what you think of the ever eroding support among American leadership in the Israeli Gaza conflict, and where is it going to go? Because they're being asked to stand down.
Now, we've got some distressing breaking news coming out of the Middle East. We're hearing that three hostages held in Gaza have been killed in friendly fire. That, according to an Israeli military spokesperson. In a statement, they said during combat, the IDF mistakenly identified three Israeli hostages as a threat. As a result, the troops fired toward them and they were killed. During searches and checks in the area in which the incident occurred, a suspicion arose over the identities of the deceased. Their bodies were transferred to Israeli territory for examination, after which it was confirmed that they were three Israeli hostages.
You know, and this is something that the media, the left-wing media, is just playing like a fiddle. They are just playing America's heartstrings like a fiddle. For that matter, maybe even some supporters of a vigorous and aggressive and once and for all eliminate Hamas approach that Israel's taking. Even some supporters may be wavering. These captives had escaped. You can see how in the fog of war, especially these street battles that are going on, how a mistake could be made. And let's be truthful about it. I mean, the Israelis, to prove just how brutal and, you know, how direct, you know, old-fashioned street warfare this is, they've lost 10 the other day in a street battle. Now they're going to flooding the tunnels, which in initial reports has been relatively successful. But I think they're right. I heard an Israeli, I think it was an ex ambassador to the United Nations or to the United States, saying, you know, this is an existential threat that can no longer be tolerated. It started with Oslo and several other agreements where the Israelis have agreed to either give land for so-called peace. They've given control of the West Bank and Gaza to Palestinians. And look what happens. And they said, for once and for all, we have to do away with Hamas, and we can no longer allow these people apparently to govern themselves because they can't govern themselves. Wow. Boy, I just had a brainstorm, Jerome. Think about this. Look at what happens in America's cities. One by one, the great American cities, as people have elected Democrat and cities and turned these to progressive, woke, increasingly deserts of law and order and havens for crime. The people get what they elect. In America, we get what we ask for. And perhaps people in the cities, in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Baltimore, in L.A., in San Francisco, in Boston, you get what you vote for. And the Gazans, the Palestinians, who I'm sure those people don't want the fighting. They don't want innocent. I read a report the other day, a guy that was there, he's an Arab doctor, who went to the hospitals in Gaza. described how people, I mean, he's taking care of little girls whose faces were ripped off. And when the little plastic bow on the hair braid, you know, it just made him cry. I understand that. That's heartbreaking. It's terrible. Where were her parents? Where were her parents when October 7th happened? Where were the people who can influence the Hamas leaders to say enough? We know the hell that's going to rain down on us from Israel. Stop it. Stand down, Hamas leaders. The Gazans haven't done that. So I'm sorry. They get caught in the crossfire. And to St. Louisans, I'm sure how many St. Louisans who are suffering under the carnage of the Kim Gardner failed prosecutorial regime, how many of them are listening to News Talk STL? How many of them hear about consequential voting? They don't. They hear the woke narrative. They hear the Black Lives Matter narrative, the leaders of whom build rich mansions on the backs of donations. They hear the narrative of the false narrative that proportionally, objectively, they hear the false narrative that white cops kill black people at proportionally unrepresented levels. No, they don't hear the truth from the likes of Heather McDonald and others that, in fact, proportionally based on representation, more white suspects get hurt, shot by cops than blacks. They don't hear that. So they vote for the likes of Kim Gardner. They vote for the likes of the mayor who continue to ruin their lives. Well, in a similar manner, that's what's going on in Gaza. And until the people who suffer under the consequences of their own electoral misjudgment and those who continue to be captive to the Democrat / woke agenda, nothing's going to change. You get what you vote for. The policies are designed to yield exactly what they yield, and they do yield it. The policies of the left yield more dependence on government so that the dependees have to vote for more of those who will continue to make them dependent. But they're so mired in it, they can't see that. They can't see that reality. So it's our job to do that. Which is why I think, Jerome, we need to speak a lot more politics at the Christmas dinner table. What do you think? No, I'm not going to go there not going to do that. All right. I think, let's play Bernie Sanders and have a little fun. This is a clip of Bernie Sanders talking about exactly what I'm getting at here. And this is government knowing what's best for you. Listen.
This is a 12-ounce can of Coke, and according to the Center for Science and the Public Interest, people who drink one or two cans of Coke a day, quote, have a 26% greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes than people who rarely consume such drinks. Dr. Taylor, do you believe that Coca-Cola and companies that make similar products should be marketing these products to children?
Over 50% of our kids are still drinking products like Coke on a daily basis. The consumption has gone down over recent years, but still remains far too high. So warning labels would really help parents understand that better.
All right. So Bernie Sanders now wants to be in control of what your kids drink. Now, I'm going to go somewhere in a minute that you may not like. Because Bernie actually may have a point, and I'll explain in a minute. But where does it end? Where does the government end thinking that they are going to be able to control your behavior? If it's not Coca-Cola, it'll be the little juicy things on the box. A juicy juice, that was one my kids drank occasionally. That was a treat. That was a necessary evil when we were on the road and we couldn't sit down and my wife makes beautiful, healthy food. And takes care of making sure that early on the kids became used to and understood how the goodness of eating a balanced, close to the farm diet means, what that means for you. So what, Bernie, are you going to forbid kids from having a donut or no Christmas cookies? Where does it end? No Halloween.
You gotta stop Coke marketing these things to people.
Yeah, right. Gotta stop marketing these things. Maybe you should go back to Boston. Talk to your mayor, Wu, who wants to have a non-whites party. Huh? Do you like that, Bernie? What if she did a non-Jewish party? I think, isn't Bernie Jewish? What if she did a non-Jewish party? How's that working for you? After all, she's government, and government wants to have inclusivity, and that's her definition of it, Bernie, and government always knows better. These government types love to govern and tell you what to do unless someone from government wants to tell them or someone they love or someone they resemble or someone in their particular faith or color or group or belief system. Oh, wait a minute then. No. We want liberty. These people are out of their ever-loving minds. They can't see the blindness and the hypocrisy of them. Okay, but I'm going to make a point here now. And this is where I'm going to invite your calls because you may get angry at this. There's actually a logical argument to be made for the government to limit how much donuts, how many donuts, how much bacon. Ugh, God help us if they limit the bacon. How much bacon? How much cheese? How much Captain Crunch you can eat? There's actually maybe a growing argument for that, for the right of the government to do that in our current circumstance. And I'll explain that when we come back on the Randy Tobler Show. The number is 314-912-1019 if you'd like to join in on the program here in the last segment. With Jerome and Quentin, I'm Tobler. We're the Tobler Show. We'll be back in a minute.
Steeler for the Vic Porcelli Show, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. on News Talk STL. But right now, let's get back to Randy Tobler Show on News Talk STL.
That's one of my favorite singers of all time. The guy's name is David Phelps. He was with the Gaither Group. Don't know if he still is, but an amazing gospel and Christian singer. One of the most beautiful voices that God has ever created. And that's one of the most beautiful renditions of O Holy Night. If you get a chance, take a listen. It's super good. David Phelps. So we have a couple of callers. And before we get to them, Gene and Archibald are on the line. We'll talk to you guys. But I have to tell you, when Americans and more Americans have sold out their health care and the remedies through their healthcare system for their obesity, their diabetes, their hypertension, their heart disease that results from those things prematurely, the arthritis, to the government to pay for the remedies, and 60%+ of every healthcare dollar now comes from the government, from taxpayers. At what point do your fellow taxpayers have a right to have some say in how you conduct your lifestyle that influences your health care demands and needs? Just think about that. You often, when you go through the line of TSA, we do sacrifice, we do subordinate some of our liberties, like keeping our shoes and our belts on, for security. Well, isn't it the same analogy? If you depend on the government, most children in America now depend on their government for Medicaid, for the food when moms are pregnant, the care for the pregnancy, the care for the baby afterwards. And now we've extended that here in Missouri. It's going on and on and on. Well, shouldn't we have a right, us taxpayers, to say how you're going to live your life if I have to pay for the consequences of it? Just saying. It's not an illogical argument. Not an illogical argument. All right. Let's see where I'm wrong. All right. Gene, you're up to bat. How you doing, Gene? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and Helene and the family, Randy.
So what say you about government-funded health care and government's right to limit advertising or limit your access to or give you a quota on how much bacon, God help us, that you can eat? You tell me.
Yeah, well, you probably know my feelings on that anyway. There's too much of that in the insurance companies and healthcare anyway. But there should be... sometimes I think it ought to be structured similar to the way automobile insurance is done, if you will. If you've got a high-powered car or performance car to have fun in, you got to pay more. So if you're of that ilk, buck up to the bar, buddy, and kick in more because you're more of a risk than the rest of it.
Right. Do actuarial insurance. Right. You took the words out of my mouth. The way to do it is to have actuarial and consequential premium payments, even if they're modest, even if they're small, for people that are getting government subsidy with their health insurance. Now, people on Medicare have already paid and continue to pay into that, so I think it's different. But Medicaid, not so much. Okay, good. Yeah. What else was on your mind, Gene?
Oh, one quick thing. I think we need to add another addition to one of the new ICD-10 codes. Z56.3 is one of my favorites. Stressful work environment. We need to come up with one that is stressful life environment due to interfering government.
Ah.
Don't get me started.
Oh, it's a tyranny code. Yeah.
That's right. Hey,
so
there you go.
Life stress due to government tyranny. Code 125.68. I like that.
There you go.
And that way we'd cover your Wellbutrin, you know, some of that antidepressant stuff. It'll cover, you know, if you got a little anxiety medicine going on.
There you go.
That sounds good. I like that. Good for you.
That works.
All right. Now, I have to ask you, I had a little debate with my weekday producer the other day, Gene, as an aside. I know you're happily married. You got a lovely wife. Do you ever have to sort of just, you know, in the interest of marital bliss and harmony, sit through a Hallmark thing this time of year, or even worse, go shopping in the mall? Do you ever have to do that?
The shopping in the mall thing we don't do, but the Hallmark movie, oh, definitely. Yeah. And like everybody knows, it starts out, you know exactly how it's going to end, but it has to be watched anyway. I think it's a therapy thing. My wife's got a pretty busy, stressful job at this time of year, and she uses that for a little downtime, if you will.
I actually enjoy Hallmark more and more, and I do. I mean, it's not my favorite thing, but my wife likes to watch that occasionally, and I do that, even though we know how it's gonna go. In these days of so much negative news, we need to keep ourselves at least aware and continue to look towards, you know, some utopian, happy, you know, family-oriented, you know, type of goals. And we need to be reminded of that through those kind of things. I think that's good. And when it comes to shopping, I'm very fortunate because my wife can wear stuff right off the rack and really look great. And, you know, so I do like going shopping with her in the mall. But I was told by a listener the other day that I was going to have my man card revoked if I talked about going shopping with the wife too much and how that's actually a good thing to do. I don't think it's worth revocation of the man card, is it? I think it's a good thing.
I think in that case it's more of a plus side on the man card because you're taking care of your wife. That's part of a good, healthy marriage relationship.
Yeah, and in kind, she'll watch a Blues game or a sporting event with me too, even though it's painful for her. I know it is painful, brother, when she has to do that, but she'll do it occasionally.
There you go. So hey, I'll go out to Bass Pro with you.
Oh man, but there's things at Bass Pro that she likes. You know, she can go to the home section there and get fun things. Yeah, so that works out.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, Gene, if I don't talk to you, well, hopefully you'll call back next Saturday. I think we're doing something Saturday, next Saturday. I think we'll be on, so we look forward to talking with you then. Thanks.
I'll catch you. Hey, you take
care.
God bless.
Archibald. Yeah, you too. Archibald is on the line now and joins us. How you doing, Archibald? Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Archibald.
Merry Christmas. Excellent show.
Well, thank you.
The
economic prognostication this morning, Archibald.
Inflation is alive and well, and the dragon is not even close to being tamed. That's all.
Okay. Well, do you anticipate a soft landing like the administration would like to see, as they will try to use that to leverage cruising to victory? Or do you think that, in fact, the other shoe has yet to drop?
The awareness of the American people to the inflation dragon and a hard landing, is going to be right in front of our eyes. It is in front of our eyes, and will get much, much worse.
Yeah. So do you actually see a hard recession? I mean, you don't see a crash again with like Hoovervilles and stuff, do you, with the Depression?
I see worse. I see every country in the world is on a fiat currency, and that's trouble. That's trouble in River City.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, listen, I want you to somehow, despite all of the economic carnage, Archibald, I want you to try to have a Merry Christmas season. Keep smiling. We love hearing your voice. Thanks for the things you send me. I read them. Appreciate them. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Recent articles I sent you.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got a chance to look at those because I'm doing shopping.
I know you haven't had a chance because I send them to you sometimes just 24 hours before showtime.
Hey, real quick. We don't have much time. Can we just get over to Nancy just real quick? We have another one. Miss Nancy. Good.
Thanks, Archibald. Go ahead, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Tobler. This is just about the election, quickly.
Yeah.
How the Democrats stick together. You know, I'm not going to go into the fact that morals aren't important to some of them, but or to judge them. But the Republicans who are friends and say they won't vote for Trump, if Trump ends up being the nominee, we all need to stick together. I don't care if Mickey Mouse is the nominee.
Absolutely.
We have to have Republicans.
Nancy, great way to end the show. Thank you so much for your call. Call me earlier next time. I love hearing your voice. We'll have to talk more in the future. I want to thank Quentin, who's been my producer these last months, and he's going to be passing the baton to Jerome. And I'm sure once in a while Quentin will come back because he just can't leave it alone. He loves his show so much. Right, Quentin?
That's right. I'll be back.
You know the right thing to say. I love you, brother. Thank
you
for all the help. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for participating in the show. All you guys, get out there, shop with your wives, watch some Hallmark. Remember the reason for the season. Faith, family, friends, that'll keep us, and freedom, that'll keep us together. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next time on The Randy Tobler Show.